Come on up front, ushers. We'll receive the offering. And yes, ma'am. Yes, she can. Amen. Thanks, Carrie. Hey, Robert. Well, Father, we just thank you for, Lord, all the things you do for this church. We thank you that in this year, Lord, we paid this building off. And Father, we declare over the families in here that, Lord, that streams of income will come to them. Great, great windows and storehouses of God of provision will flow into their life from your hand. Father, we trust you and give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Rebecca Fudge, hi. You have something to do, don't you? She's got that look in her eye.
Well, you know that we love you so much, and anytime we get a chance to bless you, we want to. So, from all of us here, we have a little gift for you and Karen.
Thank you. And Karen.
Yes, and Karen.
But she's not here to witness.
But we're live, so she is watching.
She's not watching. Thank you. Let's give Becky a hand. Amen. Becky does so much and says so many words. It's, hey, but you know, if you ever want a detailed view of something, ask Becky. I do have some news I'm sure most of you have heard, but Paula Bales, who was a board member for, since what, 2011? 2010? One of them, she passed away and went to heaven Friday morning. So the service won't be until probably sometime in the spring, in March or April. She has family in California that's when they can come. So we'll just keep her family and her friends in prayer. I'm glad she's in heaven. I watched her the last 2 years of her life, and I used to tell her, you know, everybody wants to grow old, but nobody wants to go through the process of growing old. And she was a wonderful woman who did a tremendous amount in this church. I better be quiet. Open your Bibles up. How about that? I can do that. I can do that. In autopilot. Open your Bibles up. I guess I could tell you somewhere to go, huh? Just let the Spirit lead you. No. We're going to start in Luke 2. We're going to continue our Christmas story, the story that we love so much. Stephen, I want to thank you for being here. I know that you're here to be with your family, but I'm glad that you're here this morning and to be with this family and to fill in for family. Amen. It's a good deal. I'm going to start in Isaiah because that's what I do. This is scripture that I'm about to read you in Isaiah 9. Did you know that not a single New Testament writer quoted this scripture in relation to the birth of Jesus? It just astounds me because we look back and read this, and we see a prophecy of Jesus in here. For starting in verse 6 in Isaiah 9, it says, you guys are in Luke, right? Stay there. Isaiah 9, starting in verse 6, it says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and for his kingdom. And he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Amen. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Christmas story, a very familiar story to anyone that's been raised in church and has ever seen a flannel board before. The Christmas story is about the fulfillment of hope in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's about the honor that God gave a virgin named Mary, a teenage girl. Do you know in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, kings were always accounted by who their father was. But here in the midst of a Roman Empire, the oppression upon the land of Judea, God visited a young woman and gave her news that there's no way she understood. But she hastened and she listened to it. And she had the response that, "Let it be to me like you said." And then the angel went to Gabriel. That would have been good. Then the angel went to Joseph and said, "Hey, we need to talk." Because Joseph was going to honor Mary, but he was going to do it privately. And after the discussion that he had with an angelic being in a dream, he married her the same. So we find the two of them in Luke 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room. Now, in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. And Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and just as it had been told to them." Man, I love this story. You know, when Luke and Matthew were first written, scholars don't think that they included the infancy, the birth of Jesus, that they were added later because there were other non-canonical books that were coming out, and they had a childhood Jesus raising birds from the dead and stuff like that. And so they decided to correct the record to give something else, and so they included this. I still hear the voice of Linus reading this from Peanuts, but I still remember, you know, the flannel board with Mary on the donkey. And of course, that's something that we added. The donkey is not in Matthew or in Luke. Actually, the donkey is not in the story at all. I think they should have put a donkey in there, a talking donkey. That would have been cool. There's a talking donkey in the Bible. But anyway, the story is wonderful. The Christmas story, in a time of year where yesterday was the darkest day of the year, wasn't it? It was the shortest day, the longest night. Is that right? Today's the 22nd, because I never know what day it is anymore. It is Sunday, right? Okay. But at a time of season when many people are, they don't feel the joy that we feel. Maybe some of us don't feel the joy that we should feel. But when we reflect on the story, when we think about the coming of Jesus into the world, and all that is, because we're standing here looking back and knowing the depth of the story. I mean, Joseph is in this, whether it's a cave or the first floor of a house or in the tower of the flock, as Micah, the prophet Micah alluded to. You know that he was there completely by faith. What was happening, he could see what was happening to Mary. He could see Mary delivering Jesus. But Joseph is in there, and he's going off a dream that God gave him through an angel. There's a lot of things about this story that just get me. One of the things that gets me the most is that in a land known for its hospitality, in a time of year when people were coming into Bethlehem and to Jerusalem to be registered for the Romans, there was no room for Jesus. There was no room for Mary. I used to be really hard-hearted until, let's just say God got a hold of me. Actually, it was a surgeon, but let's just say God. But I never would have turned away a woman who was about 9.5 months pregnant. You know? There's just no way. How could you do that? Some scholars think it's because that she was pregnant and that they weren't yet married. They were still betrothed. So they didn't want to have her in the house. And it was family, because family was from Bethlehem, and still they could find no one with enough hospitality to welcome them in. Maybe because of the influx of people wanting to register to be taxed. Maybe that's what filled everything up. But come on, who turns away a pregnant girl? You know, the Bible is this is a good place to point this out. This is kind of a footnote of a rabbit trail for Cody Lee. It says that the whole world would be taxed. The whole world had to be registered, right? Well, the people in India and China and Peru didn't have to register for the Roman Empire because they weren't underneath the Roman Empire. The people in Northern Britain, the people in Germany. So when you read that, you know that's been translated into a word in English, the world, the whole world, which in Greek would have been okomai. I'm not going to try to say it again because I'll butcher it worse the second time. But it means the entire Roman dominion, the known world. But here in this story, in the beauty of you know, when a baby is born, as a husband, I urge my sons to be, and son-in-laws, to be a part of the birthing process, regardless of how much blame they get. Karen did that to me. She pulled it right out of a Bill Cosby skit. I walked in there, and when she was in labor with Cody, and she looked at me and said, "You did this to me." seeing your baby born and all the joy and the just the birth of new life. And here Mary is, 14, 15 years old, maybe younger, seeing this child, holding this child as his angel said would be put inside of her. And Joseph and these shepherds show up. Thank God he sent angels to the shepherds, right? And they're excited because they've seen these angels sing and they've been told that the Savior will be born. The Messiah will be born. And I don't know what that meant to men watching sheep in the middle of the night. I know what they tell me that it means. But to have an angelic presence, to have a supernatural moment, it marks this Christmas story because it's the beginning of something that brings an end to darkness. Isaiah 60, one of the verses that we base our church on, it's arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The people in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus being born, even in a place where they wouldn't make room for him, where his mother wasn't honored, where his father was, his earthly dad was rejected, still in this moment, everything changed. Here is living, breathing, in the flesh, hope. The incarnation of God in the flesh. Jesus came, John said it in chapter 1. He said, and Jesus came and he tabernacled among us. He tented among us. He came to where we were and he set up a tent. And even though the city was inhospitable to him, Jesus is the most hospitable person you've ever met. Amen? You guys all right out there today? But I want to concentrate on something that the angel said to the shepherds. They said, I'm reading it. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those he favors. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. He favors us. He favors all people who have a breath in their lungs and life in their body. He favors us. Ephesians 2:14 says this, for Jesus is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. Jesus is our peace. Peace isn't an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not a, I guess it is in an Eagle song, isn't it? But peace is a person. Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah said. How could they not have interpreted that scripture in the New Testament for Jesus? I just don't get that. Anyway, he is our peace. Romans 5 says this. It says, therefore, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you three things about peace. Is that okay? All right. Wow. If I hurry, we could be out of here by 11. Not going to hurry. Jesus is the miracle of peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night before he was crucified. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Man, I love it when God says things like this. Can you imagine the emotions that those men had? He just told them that one of you is going to betray me. Right? after he had washed all their feet. And he told the disciples sitting next to him, the one that dips his bread, where after I dip bread, that's the one. So they've got all this emotion stirred up in them. And they don't know what's going to happen. Because as many times as he said, I'm going to be arrested and crucified, they never got it until he was arrested and crucified. And I promise you, when God speaks his peace to you, it is not in a peaceful place. You ever come down to the altar and cried your heart out and you feel you've got something that you're really believing God for, and it's a big something in your life. And you've spent time with God and you've prayed and you feel like you've got peace over that situation. But the situation is exactly the same before you came and prayed. But God has come in there and he's traded your fear for his presence. Which is the second thing I want you to get, is Jesus exchanges our fear for his peaceful presence. Philippians 1:28 said this. Paul's sending this to the church in Philippi, and he says, don't be frightened by anything by your opponents. You not being frightened, you not showing signs of fear, is a clear sign to your enemies of their destruction, but your salvation, and that from God. He told them to stand in unity, to stand there in the peace of God. Do you know that the battle over a situation is usually won in your mind before it's won in reality? It's won in your heart, your emotions, and your thoughts. It's taking those thoughts and saying, you're not going to be the king and lord and you're not my alpha and omega. You're just a thought in my head. I'm trusting Jesus because he came to bring me peace. He came to take away my fear and give me peace. You realize Jesus, even wearing flesh, he never experienced fear because he kept his thoughts on who his Father was. You know, he walked in this earth the same way that you and I walk in this earth, by trusting God, by listening to what he's telling us. This peace is the presence. It's the reassurance. It's the same thing that Paul had when he looked at those men and said, we should have stayed in the harbor, like I said. But it's going to be okay. Even though the ship is going to be destroyed. Those aren't very peaceful thoughts, are they? That's not something that calms you down. What you're standing on over the ocean, many of them couldn't swim. They had to grab a piece of a floating wood to get to the island. But the assurance, it's the same thing that the shepherds knew because they believed what the angels told them. Paul said, an angel appeared to me last night, and his word is true. The word that God has given you is true. That's what you base it, your peace on. That's the way of peace. It's the one of the lines in the end of Zechariah's song is that God leads us into the way of peace. I've prayed that over my life so many times because there's sometimes you can't see a way forward. You can't see, it's dark when you look. And no matter, you ever been in the dark and you have a powerful flashlight, but you know you can only see so far just because of the light? You ever been on a lake and it's foggy and you're trying to check your trot line, I guess? It's been a long time since I've been on a lake. But I tell you what, I've seen the light just stop at the end of the boat. I've been in fog in a car where I couldn't see the end of my hood. And I'm crawling with my flashers on, hoping that whoever comes up behind me has their eyes open. But God leads us into the way of peace. Stand strong and do not fear those opposing you. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. You know, there's a scripture that says, don't be anxious, but in everything give thanks. And the peace of God that transcends understanding will come over you. Sometimes in a situation like Mary did, like Joseph did, like the shepherds still had to do, we have to let go of having to understand first before we trust. Trust always comes first. Understanding always follows trust. Regardless of whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever test you're in, whatever mission or purpose that God has given you to do, He'll lead you to that purpose and through that, to that mission, through His relationship with you and His presence inside of you. You've never been anywhere God wasn't with you in that situation. He was in Mary. He was with Mary. He saw her through till she gave birth to that baby. Joseph, there's no record in the word of Joseph ever voicing doubts, treating Mary differently. He was there. When he got a word from God, he was there. He trusted. Zechariah trusted. Elizabeth trusted. The story of Christmas is about trusting what God trusts with you. Let's all stand. It's 11 o'clock. I know that was short, but you know that story is, it's rich, and it's a launching pad for what God wants to do in all of our lives. And all of us need to say, God, I want a moment. I don't want to birth an immaculate child. I definitely don't. But I want to be able to share your heaven and your presence with people around me. And in the last few weeks of these holidays, of this Christmas season, God's going to bring people across your path. And they're not going to know peace like you know peace. Introduce them. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this story that you recorded down for us, Lord. We thank you for Mary and Joseph and all of the characters that are in here. And Father, we ask you to open up our hearts and our eyes and see the people around us that need to know that you bring peace on all the people that you favor, and you favor all the people. Father, we just love you and honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful week. Merry Christmas. Amen.